Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
That's right. We are live for the Discount Drug Mart on Center Road in Brunswick Hills. Browns wide receiver Marlon Moore here. Got pictures he can autograph for you. Come on out and see us again. Discount Drug Mart on Center Road in Brunswick Hills. Today's show also brought to you by Santa's Little Helper, starring my good friend The Miz, Paige, WWE Diva. Fine film for the whole family. I just watched it over the weekend with my kids. They loved it. The Miz turns in. I don't want to overstate it. I know we're friends.
Jump off as you know what, bro.
Oscar-worthy performance for The Miz.
Oscar who?
Oscar Gutierrez.
Yes, exactly.
Santa's Little Helper, The Miz, Paige, Alan McCorders. Remember, is on the reboot of 90210?
Nope, never watched it.
Yeah, she was a fine film.
You have too much time on your hands.
Listen, man, it's the holidays. You don't watch any holiday movies with your kids?
Yeah. Elf.
Yes.
Home Alone. Christmas Story.
Yes.
Santa Claus.
Okay.
Not Santa's Helper.
Okay, so let me add two to your repertoire. Number one, Santa's Little Helper.
Number two,
Christmas Bounty, also starring... You guessed it, The Miz. The guy is a holiday movie sensation. Hey, Rockin' Johnny's in the house. What's up, Rockin' Johnny? How you doing, man? Good to see you. Happy holidays. Yeah, everybody's out here coming on out to the Discount Drug Mart here on Center Road in Brunswick Hills. We've got some phone calls. We're going to get to those right now. 216-578-0850. We got Kardik from Hudson, Matt Wilhelm. Kardik.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
Good. You know, I watched that Browns game last weekend, and I'm not going to be all that negative. I mean, I really think the whole team's kind of checked out, and so, I mean, I really kind of expected it. But this is more targeted towards the fans who complain. You know, they pay to go to the game, but it's not like anyone's pointing a gun to their head saying you have to go to the game. It's their choice, so I really find it really hypocritical for them to complain after they go see that when they know what they're going to get. I mean, it's not a secret that the Browns are horrible.
I think that obviously people, if you watch the second half of that game, were not there anymore. And I think there's always the hope that springs eternal. People are hoping that this team is going to turn around and put together a little bit better of a showing than it has. I was told yesterday, I don't know how to confirm this, but that the Browns have given up 24 or more points in 10 straight games, which is a fact. That I can confirm. That's an NFL record.
Wow. I know the San Francisco 49ers have the 32nd ranked offense in the National Football League. Do you think that streak could end this week?
I think it could. Let's go to Jeff in SoCal. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good, Jeff.
Hey, I had a couple comments and a question. First, probably about a month ago, one of your callers called in and said that these days, the best part about being a Browns fan is CBD, and I want to completely agree with that. I look forward to the show each day. And
thank you.
It is the best part of being a Browns fan. I hope that changes soon.
me too, bro.
We hope to slide way down the list.
We appreciate the love.
Yes, we hope to slide way
down the
list.
But we hope it changes too.
Yeah. I know, really. I know you guys have been talking about how the team didn't have like a process or a direction. I think what that really is it really, when you look at the team, whose team is this? Is it the coach's team? Is it the GM? Is it the president? When you look at the Patriots, that's Bill Belichick's team. You look at the Cowboys, that's Jerry's team. When you look at, you know, any team you look at, you know who's in charge. I don't know who's in charge of this team. And as far as decisions go, it requires multiple meetings and watching
Happy holidays,
tape.
Bro.
And so many different things, and I don't know why we can't, like you just said earlier when you started the show, why can't we just make a decision? Why can't coach just decide and just do what he's going to do? So, but anyway.
I'll tell you this, and I thought that's what made the comment so interesting, and I think in some way you're right, because you look at the people who are in charge of the football side, and I'll tell you, this is not the president's team. Alex Schneider is not involved in football, despite the fact that that's what everybody in the media wants to try to portray. This is Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine's team. And Mike Pettine has been very involved in the personnel decisions that have come good and bad. So the issue is Bill Belichick, everybody knows it's Bill Belichick's team and it's Bill Belichick's way. Why? Because he's been so successful. And there's no question about that. these guys have not yet been successful, and it's hard to just say everything's going to happen the way that I wanted to when I wanted to when you don't have that kind of success to back it up. And I think when you have people that are new to their roles like the Browns do with both Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer, and that you look at the track record and you could say, well, for Mike Pettine, he's 2-15 in his last 17 games as a head coach. You look at Ray Farmer and you look at the lack of production that you're getting from your big free agent signings and, of course, from your draft picks. And so it's easy for everybody to kind of have all of a sudden this infighting, I guess, that it were. And I think that's there. It isn't anybody's team because how could it be right now?
Right. Yeah, I get it. And I think, as you mentioned earlier, the evaluation, evaluate this, evaluate. If you had an identity, you know, and you had the core of who you are firing on all cylinders, there's no need in you evaluate on the outskirts of things, okay? You evaluate the bottom five guys that make up this roster. You're not evaluating, you know, players that are starting versus players that are not. And I think that, to me,
they're evaluating their scheme. They're evaluating
and at this point right now, it should be defined. Should know. Everyone should know who you are. Well, we do know who they are. It's just not very good.
It's not good. It's
right.
Just bad.
It's just bad.
My tears have gone cold. I'm wondering why Stan is on the line at all. What's up, Stan?
Good afternoon. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
You got it, Stanley.
Look, this gentleman that called earlier and said that people can't complain.
Of course people can complain. It's their right.
Look, it's basically 50 years of frustration. This is the 50th year anniversary of the Super Bowl, correct? This year?
Yes, it is.
And I looked at my media guide and all my records, and we were almost there a lot of times, but we never got there. It sucks. Take care. Have a great day.
Stan, short, sweet, and to the point. Yes, it does suck right now, Stan. Let's go to Steve in Fairlawn. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call today. I appreciate it.
You got it, man.
You got it, bro.
We talk about, you know, what a mess we're in, and I had a low point fourth quarter on Sunday when we had over 12 minutes left and we had the ball, and I saw guys walking to the line. And then I think, you know, at that moment I thought, how does Mike Pettine use a press conference to explain what we're seeing? And to me, it's one of those things that you can't excuse because you know, you're in this mall. You're in this absolute black hole. And, you know, everybody's got ideas on how to fix it. And I know that they, in business, and in academics, they always say, use a model. And somebody brought up a really good point earlier today on a talk show. They were saying that, you know, we've always gone to coordinators for offensive coaches, for head coaches, and why don't we get head coaches to be a head coach? And, you know, I was thinking about, like, a model. I can't think of a better model than Paul Brown himself. And he was a high school coach at Massillon. And he was, you know, he did lead the Buckeyes to a national championship. And then he came in here in Cleveland and basically destroyed the league. I mean, you talk about wrecking the league. You know, they shut down a league for him, put him in the NFL, and he basically dominated that one as well. And I do think about that. Like, why aren't there meteoric coaches that are coming out of high schools and colleges and are just like running roughshod over everything that they touch? I know that he was a control freak and that Modell resented that, but when you look back at the guy's record and you go, oh, that's a winner, I don't understand why we aren't using this model and saying that's what we need to do. We need to quit looking under stones and find the guys that are real stars out there and bring them in and give them the latitude and the support that they need to make these things happen. That's about all.
I think it's a good point. It's a good question, and I think that it's something that every organization in the NFL wants to be able to master and do correctly. I think once you have that, it makes everything a lot easier, and so far for the Browns, they have not been able to do that. And, you know, you look at the name of coaching candidates. ESPN did one of the top 10 coaching candidates out there, and it's mostly coordinators again. You know, Hugh Jackson at least has coached in the NFL before.
Right.
He knows the division, et cetera. Those are names that are out there. But, you know, we would all love nothing more than to not even be talking about things like this because the Browns are being successful. And I like Mike Pettine, and I hope he has an opportunity to or does do something over the final four games that changes the perception certainly that is out there right now. Scott in Akron, welcome to the show. Hey, Scott.
Scott?
Scott?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes,
go,
sir.
Bud.
What's
yeah,
up,
we got
man?
You.
I'm sorry about that. I just wanted to touch on something we discussed at the end of yesterday when you had talked about why he would throw Gibson under the bus on the the route. I thought about that, and I think there's only one reason you can come up with. That was his free agent acquisition, and he looked really bad on that play.
That it was to defend Tremont.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, and that gets into another level of psychology, right? So he would do that to defend Tremont, who was his free agent acquisition. Dwayne Bowe's also his free agent acquisition, and Dwayne Bowe isn't even being activated on a game where you're start playing, you know, Darius Jennings, who was just called up from the practice squad. So that to me, if that really is what it is, that's not good either.
No, I mean,
none of that's good, because what you're saying is, okay, now you're playing favorites in the media, especially with a guy who's established and who's getting paid $7 million a year and who's had, you know, a solid season but has had his issues of late, as everybody has in the secondary. And then you've got your guy, Tashawn Gibson, who's young, coming off a Pro Bowl season. Yes, he's battled some injuries. Certainly his productivity this year is far down from where it was a year ago. He's not having a great season either. But it's just, that's a guy that if you really look at the horizon and you say, if things go well, he has a much better shot of being a part of your team in 3 years when this team could be
if
good.
If you're still here.
If you're still here. And maybe, Mike, maybe that's what he's saying. Like, I don't care anymore. I don't know. I just thought that was.
It was very odd.
Very unique.
Very odd and unique. Yes, it was.
Yeah, and you've played a lot longer than I have, and you would know. Like, do you think that that's something, you say the players don't listen to stuff, you know, like that. Do you think there's any way that Gip doesn't know about that?
No. He knows.
And how does that sit with him?
It all depends. Gip, to me, seems like a very level-headed young player in the National Football League.
You go ask the coach, say, hey, why'd you do that?
He might even just ask, you know, Halfley and just say, you know, where was that coming from?
Uh-huh.
And then Halfley would then go to Pett and just say, hey, Tashawn has voiced a concern. And then maybe Pett would then go to Gip. And, you know, it's a vicious circle. But the whole point of being is, It seems odd for him to go out of his way, and now you have another issue happening in your locker room when you should be focusing on the 49ers and an opportunity to win. Your last opportunity to win a football game.
Come out and see us, Marlon. Moore is here at the Discount Drug Mart on Center Road in Brunswick Hills. So it's interesting because we've gotten into many of these situations we've talked about. It sounds to me in the National Football League there is very little player head coach talking.
100%.
Which is so interesting.
It is. When I was in San Diego, Marty was a very jovial guy. He'd make his way through and talk to guys. Norv was an offensive guru. So it was V-line for Phillip Rivers, you know, and have those offensive conversations because he's been a coordinator before. And so he has a coordinator mindset. And then in Singletary was just an oddball. You know, he really was. He was to himself. He was the disciplinarian. He wanted everyone to fear him. So, no, of course, you know, you run and hide in your locker when, you know, he comes walking through because who knows what he's going to go off on you about. Something as ticky-tacky as, you know, your socks being, you know, too high or too low. And then, you know, Mike McCarthy, I throw him kind of in, you know, and I didn't get to know him as well, you know, being a new player in the middle of the season.
How great is it that you ended up with the Packers?
Five interactions with him in my 6 months there, you know, where you happen to be in line next to each other, you know, in for the pregame meal, and he's like, how's it going? You get into your talks. But, I mean, you don't, because the head coach is controlling everything from a football standpoint, that when you're in such a regiment that you're going from one meeting to the next, you've got so much time to then go get taped, you got to eat, you got to do this, you want to text your wife, your girlfriend, you know, talk to your kids, then go out to practice. And it's like, and when you're out of practice, it's like Mike might be, you know, he might wander over to your area, but he might not, you know, just kind of like, and that's why I've always said that the relationships that you develop with your position coaches, you know, your position coaches are, to me, are the equivalent to a head coach recruiting you to come play someplace, because that's who you're committing to. You're really committing to play for that coordinator and that position coach. And if they have value, you know, you feel like you want to grow as a player in that system and in that scheme.
Very interesting the way that it's all shakes out in the National Football League. Jeff in Youngstown, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeff. I think it's pretty interesting about some of the stuff you guys are talking about with, you know, player relationships with coaches. And my question to you guys, I mean, I'm a defensive guy, always have been, and the way that I see things transpiring between the players and Pettine last year and now this year is, you know, everything in the beginning of the season saying that he is going to, you know, be more involved with the offense, you know, rather than defense. And Jim O'Neill's kind of like taking the reins, everybody's been saying this whole time. And I never really heard the players complain about scheme until this year when Jim O'Neill is, you know, in charge, so to speak. So, I mean, what's the deal with that? I mean, Matt, you would kind of have an idea about that with, you know, player relationships and everything. I mean, do they not respect O'Neill? Like, what is this issue that they have here?
I think it's the person, it's the scheme. And even, you know, finishing my point and then, you know, obviously going to that caller, the one thing that we have to defend against, if the players are unhappy in the system, do you think that a free agent whose contract expires on one of the other 31 teams wants to come play in Cleveland in a system that the players that are in the system aren't happy with? No.
And you've talked all year about how it seems muddy to you, and by that you mean confusing, and you can see even, you know, game number 12, how many times were guys confused before the snap, how many times were guys out of position, coverages were blown, et cetera, in this scheme. And it's because I think defensively these guys are not comfortable with this scheme, and I think that other offensive corners, I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals, flat out what they did was like when you watch an old cartoon and a cat is just toying with a mouse. That's exactly what they were doing. I mean, Hugh Jackson was over there laughing at Jim O'Neill.
Right, and I'm sure he, you know, in his week of preparation probably drew up some plays that were a little outlandish, a little stretch, something that he wanted to get on tape the way you do in a preseason game, but a preseason game doesn't matter. He felt like that was the right setting, that they're running hot enough that if they can take control and do things the way the Bengals do things to make that game out of reach, that he's going to put some things out there on tape because now they have their four final games. They're going to expound off some of those sets.
Yeah, they got Pittsburgh coming up.
That's my point. They have all those things to kind of toy with to go to Heinz Field or whether it's in Cincinnati. And then just it's the equivalent to throwing out that fake field goal, that fake punt, you know, or that trick play in the preseason so that every team's got to practice for it.
And
now,
it's basically like I think they were using the Browns kind of to throw up that jab that's going to set up that right hook against the Steelers. So a lot of things they were doing, they were showing, but unfortunately their jabs were just knocking us out.
Yeah, and I heard, I think it was Riz on the Really Big Show talking about how Marvin Lewis coached and talked to the guys at the start of the prep for the Browns is watch this film as if, you know, the uniforms were blank, you know, basically he wanted them to go out and play as if they were playing in the Super Bowl and not play down to the level of the competition. So that was something that Marvin Lewis saw on film and addressed his team because it's just what you do, you know.
That's a very telling comment, and yeah. I don't like it.
Right. Well,
I don't like it one bit. All right, when we come back, we're going to go back to the phones, 216-578-0850. Marlon Moore is with us here at the Discount Drug Mart on Center Road in Brunswick Hills. Come out and see us. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.